the sermon that the Lord gave me, and he just continued to pound this in my heart this week, was abomination. And so the sermon is Abominations Explained.
It's time for another Holy Ghost-inspired message from God's Word, recorded live at Living Water Church in Bridgeport, West Virginia. Now, here's Pastor Jerry.
Hallelujah. Well, pray together with me for this message. Father, I thank you for your anointing. We asked that earlier, and it is here. And you have prepped our hearts. You've spoken to us in worship, and Lord, we thank you for that. Thank you for the great time that we've had so far in the house of God. And I'm going to ask that you would just bless your word. And we will thank you for that. In Jesus' precious name, God's people said, amen and amen. And again, I oftentimes will ask the Lord, will you give me a good, nice, soft Mother's Day message? Or Father's Day? And the Lord said, what? No. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 6 and you'll hear why. As we begin this morning's message. Proverbs chapter 6. And they prayed for me earlier back in the kids' blast room. And I said, I definitely need this morning. God's anointing to be upon me and upon his word. Proverbs chapter 6, starting in verse 16. These six things does the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked imaginations, feet that are swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaks lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. Now here's the only part of this message that is a Mother's Day message. My son, keep your father's commandment and do not forsake the law of your mother. That would probably be the only part of this, Sheila, that would be a Mother's Day message. Where the proverb writer, most likely Solomon here, is saying, son, keep your father's commandment and don't forsake the law of your mother. Well, this is part of this. How many of your mothers taught you things that were valuable? Rick talked about that earlier. They taught you some things that were very valuable to you as you go on. Now, when we're younger, Caleb, Bree, I love it that you guys are here, Tucker. When we're younger, we don't see the value of it. And I will tell you first and foremost that my mother and I were like this. Boom. And Mom and I butt heads just about over everything that there was to butt head with when I was a young man. But I found the value of those things that she said later on in life. And when we're young, we believe that we have all the answers to everything, right? But then we don't think our parents have any smarts to them at all. We cannot figure out how they could be so dumb. But then later, as we get older, we realize they weren't the ones that were dumb, we were. And there were reasons why things were said. But this morning, as we go over this text, the sermon that the Lord gave me, and he just continued to pound this in my heart this week, was abominations. And so the sermon is Abominations Explained. Because oftentimes in the Word of God, we read words like that. We're not exactly sure what they mean. We have an idea. How many of you know that abomination is not a good word? Right? And so I want to dig into this a little bit. When we look at these words that are here, a lot of times people say, well, you know, this can't be the God of love. You know, God so loved the world. When you look at this verse here in verse 16, there are six things that the Lord hates, yea, even seven of them are an abomination unto Him. So basically, this is saying that the Lord hates these things. Now, the word hate here means that it's an enemy to the Lord. Okay? There's two things that this word means, that these things are an enemy to the Lord, and number two, there's a nice word here called odious. Now, I'm going to tell you what that word means. Stinky. Stinky. These things are stinky to the Lord. How many of you ever been, some people call it a dump, some people call it a landfill. Anybody ever been to one of those before? They don't smell very good. How many of you ever been past a sewage plant? There's a couple of them, one here in Bridgeport, right? Going down the interstate. You go by that and you look to the person next to you and say, did you do that? You know? One time there was a Jamaican man that married an American girl, and she came here, and I was invited to be part of that wedding. And since I knew the Jamaican man from being in Jamaica several times, and so there were several Jamaicans that came, and I had to give a ride to one of them to the wedding, and it was hilarious because they don't have skunks over there, okay? And we were riding down the road, and we passed a skunk, and I just kept looking over at him, you know, And you could tell he's squirming, you know, because he's smelling something he's never smelled before. He thinks it's me, right? And so I finally, you know, I was just giving a hard time. I looked over and said, did you have to do that? And he goes, I didn't do it, man. Man, I didn't do it, man. Some of you, if you know me, that's kind of my personality sometimes. And But I explained to him that was something called a skunk. Number one, he was relieved. And number two, then I've never seen somebody get so excited. I mean, he started bouncing in the seat and said, can we go back and look at him? I've never seen a skunk before. I said, well, you're not going to see him, but you're going to smell him for a couple miles in the car here, all right? So, exciting times, but that word there means that God hates it. It is stinky to Him. These things that He has mentioned are stinky to Him. And then, also in combination, they are an abomination to Him. An abomination means to loathe something disgusting. Now, some of you use words like when somebody puts a food in front of you or whatever that you don't like, what do you say? Oh, that's disgusting, right? I'm not eating that. That's disgusting. Because we don't like it. But this word goes even beyond. This goes to almost to the point of disgust where there is a rottenness to it. How many of you, I'm not trying to get too disgusting here, but how many of you ever seen maggots eating something? Okay, and there is a disgusting, horrid smell to that. There is also a disgustingness in the way that it looks, and this is what this word encapsulates, that it is disgusting to the Lord. And it is to abhor something, to want to stay away from something. So when God says this in this text, that He says there are several things, seven things. Number one, pride. I want us to think about that as believers in Jesus and pridefulness. And this is why God works on us so hard to get rid of the pride that is within our hearts, because it literally is disgusting. to him. That is a terrible smell in his nostrils. Lying. Okay, all of these things encapsulate something that is terrible in the way of disgusting to the Lord. So when you think about these things, are these things that mankind should be involved in, and especially Christian people? They are not. They are an abomination to the Lord. Lying, murder of the innocent, that is something that is very stinky to God. And here's another one that a lot of Christians say, well, I'm not a murderer, but how about this one where he talks about a heart that plans evil things? That is a word called malice, where the heart actually plans something against someone else. In other words, it is, I'm going to get you when you least expect it, because I have not forgotten what you have done to me. And therefore, my heart is planning what I'm going to do to you. God literally throws up at that. Believers, that should never, ever be a part of who we are. Ever. Now, I was talking to Judy the other night, Laura and I, and the Lord has been really working on us as a church this year, hasn't He? As far as what He's called us to be. You want to know why? Because look at the condition that the world is going in right now. What is the world going to need right now? Some say, well, we're going to need another president. That'll fix everything. That's not going to fix anything. Well, we're going to need more laws to fix things. That's not going to fix anything. God is what we need here in this place. Let's look at some other things. By the way, also that heart that plans evil plots, that's another word for revenge. Should never be in the heart of the Christian's mind or heart. And another thing here, those who strive and thrive towards sinful ways. That is disgusting to God in His eyes. A false witness. How about this one? Division makers within God's children. God literally abhors that. It is stinky to Him, those that will cause division within the body of Christ. Never, ever should happen. And you know what? Here's how it works within the body of Christ. Well, I don't think this should happen. I don't think He should have said that. I don't think Miss Laura should do this. Who does she think she is? Who does the pastor think he is? Those are all divisive words. Those are things that should never be in the mouths or the hearts of those that are God's people. So I want to talk specifically about these things that the Bible calls are abominations to the Lord. These are seven of those things, but do you know that the Bible very specifically points out other things? Now, I'm not going to give you all of those, but I've tried to sum up some of them that, as far as God is concerned, these are very stinky, these are very disgusting before the heart of God, before the eyes of God. And so I want to look at some of these things. Leviticus 18:22, and we'll put these up on the screen. Leviticus 18:22, and another one that I'm going to give you here. Thou shalt not lie with mankind. As with womankind, it is an abomination. Same word. Same thing here that the world today is saying this is okay. The world is saying, and these two things, lying with mankind is homosexuality, lying with womankind, the world calls lesbianism today. These things, according to God, are an abomination. Now, that's not an abomination to the Lord, the phone going off there, okay? So don't worry about that. I want you to pay attention that God says these things. Okay, Leviticus chapter 20, verse 13 also mentions this same thing. If a man lie with mankind as he lies with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. Now, of course, in that day, in Moses' day, those shall surely be put to death. That was the law that was intact with the law of Moses. But I want to come back here and say, there are individuals that have come to churches and churches just simply say, we don't want your kind in our churches. Now, Living Water Church invites all people to come, but all people to come to Christ. And when you come to Christ, what should be happening? Changes should be happening within us. And not too very long ago, I had an individual that came and professed one of these and said, how does this church, how will they respond to me if I come? And my answer to that is, the response will be, we want you to come and learn Jesus. We want you to see what Jesus is about and about how he works in our lives, but you must understand how God feels about what you are doing. And I showed the individual these scriptures and I said, this is God's heart and this is what we go by as the Word of God for our instruction. And you know, that individual said to me, thank you so much for sharing that with me, because no other church has ever shared that with me. Why they believe what they believe. Unfortunately, they said, I am not going to do that. I'm going to continue in the way. But my response was, well, I will continue to pray for you. That God would open your eyes. Because very clearly here the Word of God expresses that this is an abomination to the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 7, again, and now you know why I definitely needed the Lord here this morning, because we're dealing with issues that are in our world today, but I must bring God's Word. I must bring God's Word. Deuteronomy chapter 7. And again, we're looking at some things that God says are an abomination. Deuteronomy chapter 7, in verse 25 is where I will start. The graven images of their gods you shall burn with fire. Thou shalt not desire the silver or gold that is in them, or take them, lest you be snared by them. For it is an abomination to the Lord your God. Neither shall you bring an abomination into your house, lest thou be a cursed thing like it. Thou shalt utterly detest it and utterly abhor it, for it is a cursed thing. Now, yes, we are under the grace of God right now. However, there are things that are abominable to the Lord and are stinky to Him, and these are things that are considered idols. Today, are there idols that are still around? There are idols that are still around. And I take this literally for my own home, and what we put into our homes is very, very important. You see, the scriptures say that we are to avoid the very appearance of evil. And if something represents evil, then we ought not to have it in our homes. And there are others that will disagree and say, well, it makes no difference whether I have a big Buddha statue in my home. I still love Jesus. Yes, it does make a big difference. Because when others come into your home, what are they looking at? What are they seeing as the center point of your home? Is it the Buddha? Or is it another idol that has been set up? That everyone that comes into your home must see it. You know, some people make idols out of their homes. And how wonderful their home is. God says, according to this, that we are not to bring those things into our homes because they are an abomination unto the Lord. What does your home represent? What do others see when they come into the home? Does the home say, we serve the Lord God Almighty? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And not putting other things ahead of God. Now, I just want to touch on that because this is something that God says is an abomination. And, you know, I don't want to get too caught up on legalism here, but if you feel that that thing does not represent God, get it out of your house. One amen. Any other amens? Proverbs chapter 3, verse 32. And again, I'm giving you some scriptures here. For the froward is an abomination to the Lord. Okay, the froward is an abomination to the Lord. What is a froward? It actually means those that turn away from God. Those that once served God and loved God and turn away from Him, that is an abomination to the Lord. Can you imagine why? That is a stinky smell. Now again, you may want, and I've had this question asked, well, why would somebody want to turn away from the Lord? Satan offers the world, folks. He offered it to Jesus. He had the authority, and he still does, to offer that. And Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. Unfortunately, there are many that once loved God that have sold out to Satan. And that is an abomination to God. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 1. Again, we find these little nuggets throughout the Word. A false balance is an abomination to the Lord. Okay, a false balance. What in the world is that talking about? Well, in the days that this was written, everything was weighed. And if you were going to come and sell a piece of gold, you would have a scale. And however much that weighed, you would get paid for that. Unfortunately, a false balance is putting something in the gold that would weigh it down a little bit further. In other words, it's called cheating. Whether it's in school, whether it's in the workplace, cheating or cheating on your income tax and saying, well, the government doesn't need this. I need it more than they need it. God wants to bless me with more. And therefore, I will cheat and just add a little bit more to it, to my deductions. That is a stinky smell to God. The froward is a stinky smell. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 10. And this is what we see happening very much today in our world. Different weights, different measures, both of them are an abomination to the Lord. Christians, should we be doing any of this cheating? Titus chapter 1, if you jump over there with me. Titus chapter 1, verse 15 and 16. Paul telling Titus, unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. But even their mind and the conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in their works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient unto every good work, reprobate. You know what else is a stinky smell to the Lord? Professing you know God, but yet in your works, you're totally opposite. You know, this is one of the things that's been kind of a benchmark of the ministry that God has given to me, that we know, according to James chapter 1, verse 22, but be you doers of the word and not just hearers only, deceiving your own self. God would rather have us be a heathen, totally against Him and doing everything against Him, than to say you're a Christian and your works do not show it. Your life does not show it. You only come to church. Maybe you listen. Maybe, well, you know, that's just for them. It's not for me. That is called an abomination to the Lord. You're either going to sell out to Jesus or you're not going to sell out to Jesus. Now, some say, Pastor, man, that's a really hard word. That's hard. And again, you know, you've heard me say about the man that he listened to a couple of my sermons and he said, you know, if you wouldn't preach or teach such things, you might have people come to your church. But I can't do that. I have to bring what God says. And He says here to Titus, if you profess you know God, but you deny Him in your works, that's abominable. So some people say, well, you know, you're just picking on Old Testament stuff. Here we go, some New Testament stuff. There is one ultimate abomination that the Scriptures talk about. And again, I'm giving you a summary. I'm showing you everything that God says about abomination. There is one ultimate abomination. It's found in Daniel chapter 12. In Daniel chapter 12, he's telling us about an incident that will happen at the very end of the tribulation period. And here it is, Daniel chapter 12, verse 11. And from that time, that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that makes desolation set up, there shall be 1,290 days. So, some people have no idea what this is actually talking about. I want to explain it to you. It's talking about the last part of the tribulation. What will happen is Israel, during the first half of the tribulation, will be allowed to set up their worship the way that they did in Old Testament times. There will be a new temple that is built. There will be sacrifices that are started again, just like they did before. That will be allowed. But in the end, Antichrist will set up his throne. He will throw all the priests out of that temple of the Lord, and he will set up his throne in the temple of God and say, I am God, worship me. So this is what Daniel refers to as the abomination, the stench that will come before the Lord's nostrils that will make desolation, or in other words, that will make destruction, a smell of waste, and a desert. How many of you know what Satan came to do? Thank you. And that's exactly what he's going to attempt to do. He will set himself up in God's holy temple and say, I am God. Worship me. This is called the abomination. I would say the ultimate abomination that Satan will do. But I got good news for you. I got good news. Kathy's coming back on a white horse with the rest of us. We're all coming back with Jesus. We're just going to be witnesses. We're going to be witnesses because the Lord will speak with His mouth and Antichrist will be bound 1,000 years. God will say, get out of there, boy. You are not God and never will be God. And we will witness God and Jesus, our Lord, at His finest, speaking those words, and the battle is won. The battle is won. Hallelujah. Come on. The battle is won. Now, after going through all of these abominations, we've been through several of them. The question really comes in at this, and it's amazing to me, when you do research on this, the big question is, does God forgive abominations? And it's amazing as you look through a lot of what people are writing, and there is a large percentage that will come along and say, no, God does not forgive abominations because abominations are bigger than regular sins. How many of you agree with that? I'm glad nobody raised their hands in this place, because that is not the whole counsel of God. The counsel of God, it's a big argument out there. No, I disagree. If it's an abomination, you won't be forgiven of it. Let me ask you this. How many of you have committed some abominations as far as we've talked about here today? Oh, just one person. Raise your hand. Come on now. You ever lied since you've been a Christian? We have, haven't we? How many of us have ever cheated? Yeah. Thank you, Lord, that the whole counsel of God tells us otherwise. Amen? Jeremiah, we're going to pick out just a couple instances here. The book of Jeremiah, chapter 4. Jeremiah, chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. Here's what God said. If you will return, O Israel, saith the Lord, return unto me, and if you will put away your abominations out of my sight, then shalt thou not remove, and thou shalt swear, the Lord liveth in trust, in truth, in judgment, in righteousness, and the nation shall bless themselves in him, and in him shall they glorify. For thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground and sow not among thorns. Circumcise yourselves to the Lord and take away the foreskins of your heart, you men of Judah, you inhabitants of Jerusalem, lest my fury come forth like fire and burn that none can quench. What did God say? If you will return, if you will repent and put away your abominations, what's He going to do? He's going to forgive. He's going to receive. I talked about this earlier. His mercies are new every morning. Every morning. If you will do this, He says, I will receive you. Turn over to the book of Ezekiel now, just next book over. Ezekiel chapter 14. Again, we always have to take the whole counsel of what God's Word says. There are some that just zero in on something and say, no, God does not forgive. according to that verse that we just read, God said He will forgive your abominations. Ezekiel chapter 14, verse 6, "Therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, repent, turn yourselves from your idols, turn away your faces from all your abominations. For every one of the house of Israel or the stranger that sojourns in Israel, which separates himself from me and sets up his idols in his heart and puts the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face and comes to the prophet to inquire of him concerning me, I, the Lord, will answer him by myself and I will set my face against that man." But what does he say? If we will repent and turn away from those abomination, what's he going to do? He's going to receive us. Now, how many of you, if you were in the Lord's shoes and people had these stinky abominations before you, how many of you would be willing to do that? That's why we're not God, right? That's why we're not God, Patty. But God, in who He is, He is the one that says, if you will repent, I will turn towards you. The New Testament talks about this, and I want you to see this. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, the Apostle Paul. He says this, verse 17. "Wherefore come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and don't touch the unclean thing, and I will receive you. I will be a father unto you. You will be my sons and my daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." If we've been guilty of some of these things, the Lord says, come out. Come out from among them and be separate. Put them aside. Now I want you to really pay attention to that. Because if it's an abomination and you have heard it, you know it according to the Word, you continue to do it, are you coming out from among it? You're not. But He says, come out from among that and be separate. Leave that behind. The Lord is not saying, well, you know, it's okay. You can continue to do that. And I'll still receive you. That's not what He said, is it? The Lord Jesus is demanding 100% of us. And He will take no less. And when the Lord begins to convict us of something, we are to come out from among that and leave it behind. He said, that's what I want you to do. God is very specific here. That's His mercy. That's His love. Because we cannot continue to say we are believers and continue to walk in darkness or continue to drag all of this stuff with us and say we love Jesus. I told you that this would not be exactly a Mother's Day message. But I believe that God is working on our hearts to cleanse us and to purify us. And He's looking for us to submit to His Word, submit to His authority. Praise God for His love and His mercy. Amen, Sister Joyce? Praise God for that and His forgiveness. So, as we close this message, I just want us to take a time, and those that are watching online and those that are here, I just want to take a time right now, and let's just come before the Lord and ask the Holy Spirit to deal with you. To say, Lord, I want to open myself up, Holy Spirit, to come and search my heart. Search my heart. See if there be any wicked way. See if there be anything that is causing this bad odor. to you, Lord. And I repent. I want to repent from that and ask the Lord to help you. Can we do that? Can we take just a few moments to do that? Thank you. Oh, Jesus, we need you. We ask for your forgiveness. Each and every one of us, Lord, and I thank you so much that your promises, if we repent before you, you're faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Father, from this time on, that we would strive to live for you. Father, in the world that we live in today, you've called us to be the witness, called us to be the light. And I pray that you would use each and every one of us to do that. Lord, this message has been tough. It's been a pruning for us, Lord, but I pray that you would help us. Because, Father, we don't want to be that smell. And I ask you to forgive us. Thank you for the clean that you bring. In Jesus, God's people said, amen, amen, and amen. Thank you, Lord.
We thank you for listening to today's message and pray that the Holy Spirit touched your heart. If you would like to support this ministry, please send your donation to Living Water Church, 1000 Hall Valley Drive, Bridgeport, West Virginia, 26330. Living Water Church is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. Your gifts are tax deductible.